And it's a new month and time for another edition of Tech Plus. So welcome to the month of March and also welcome to another Tech Plus. Kaden, how's it, man?
It's going well. Back at it again, hey? Wow.
How do we get here now?
I don't know. It moves so quickly. I feel like the year should still be in January. Is it just me? It's March already. Where did March even come from?
I know, exactly. And I mean, now, before you know it, summer's over. Now it's autumn. The leaves are falling.
I feel it getting a little bit darker, a little bit earlier.
It is, yeah. It's a bit nippy at night, early morning.
But I'm going to enjoy it. The heat while we have it for another, 3 months, 4 months? And then it's kind of...
Even three.
We can dream, eh?
Yeah, and then it's time for a bit of winter action. And Easter also, just around the corner.
Oh yes, that's always
so
exciting.
So close, yeah. Jeez, man, so where are your shades this week?
Oh, the Ray-Bans.
Yes.
This week, I've decided not to be wearing them today. I was wearing them flat out yesterday, which is actually someone's birthday. And what a cool little gadget to have. Anyone who doesn't know, we're talking about the Meta Ray-Bans, the ones that have the cameras in them. And wow, it's actually super cool because, you know, I'm not a kind of guy who goes around taking a lot of photos very often. I don't find myself doing that, even though I think I should because I always feel like I don't have enough photos. But now that I've had the Ray-Bans, I find that, you know, you go to a special occasion and when you get home, you have like 15, 20 photos and like 5 or 10 videos of the occasion. And it was really low effort and low maintenance to capture all of that content. Now, the only downside is you don't have like a selfie shot of yourself or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's still super cool to just be able to record your environment. I mean, I think some of the coolest photos that I think I get every single time without fail is the classic holding something that you're drinking in your hand and just taking a photo. It just always looks good.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, it just looks great.
Oh, yes.
You know, first person perspective gives a great sense of what that was like, you know. So I'm very happy with that. I mean, the other thing that is just super cool is the speakers on it. You really wouldn't expect it, but having the glasses and being able to listen to music, I think I've every time I've worn them, like imagine every time you put glasses on, you can just listen to music softly enough that no one else can hear, softly enough that you don't have any difficulty hearing your surroundings, but still cool enough to, you know, kind of imitate having a radio on somewhere or something like that, just loud enough so that there's a vibe around. And that's also really, really cool. And the sound is just so good. It literally sounds great. And then taking phone calls. This is maybe one of the things that's a bit weird. You know, when you have a pair of glasses that can take a phone call, you answer the phone, but everyone around you has no idea you're on a phone call. There's actually nothing to suggest that you are on a phone call in any way. You're just literally standing probably with your arms to your side or in your pockets and talking to yourself. With a pair of glasses on, like that's what you look like.
So. Kaden, are you okay there? Hey?
So you get a couple, you know, side glances and people don't really know what's going on. The other day I was actually on a phone call with the glasses on. And while I'm on the phone call, someone just comes up to me and starts talking to me.
That's the problem. That's the problem with these things.
And I didn't have the heart to be like, listen, I'm on a phone call. So whoever I was on a phone call with, it's got to sit for 2.5 minutes listening to me to having a few short minutes of short convo, you know? That was quite funny.
That's also another problem in 2024,
hey? You know what is new in 2024? That I don't think I saw in 2023 is I always heard about Spa and coming out with their, you know, delivery service, but being here now is now, I didn't really see anything. And now the day I saw those Spa cars, those little three-wheelers.
Spa to you or something.
Yes, it's called Spa to you. These little guys are so cool. So Spa has a fleet of them, 65 little mini three-wheeler electric vehicles that deliver goods through their online delivery service. And use a combination of grid and solar power to charge them. So, Omnichannel Executive at Spa Group told My Broadband that the retailer spent 6.2 million rand establishing the Spa to You fleet and plans to expand it further. Of its 65 electric vehicles, 52 are City Buzz 2 scooters with swappable lithium-ion battery packs that charge to full in 3 hours. That's pretty cool. The retailer also has 12 three-wheelers and one city van servicing Spa to You customers. They also said the company is considering multiple electric vehicle types, from scooters to trucks, to evaluate their viability for use across several services that SmartU will offer in the future. So the range, what is the range of these little electric spa scooters that look like tuk-tuks? Apparently they can go about 100 kilometers on a single charge, and the City Buzz 2 scooters get up to 80 kilometers on a single charge. So you're talking about 80 to 100 kilometers on a single charge. That's not too bad. You're going to struggle to, I mean, in Nasna, you're going to struggle to use that getting from like A to B a few times. And the coolest thing is these swappable batteries let the driver just come back, swap the battery out, and be on his way again, and it will be fully charged in 50-50. I mean, in about three hours or so. And then they also went on to say that when they're charging them, it uses a combination of grid and solar power, and they estimate that doing this will allow them to have an estimated annual offset of approximately 3.27 tons of carbon emissions per bike. How cool is that?
Very cool. Very, very cool.
Have you seen these SmartU little scooters around?
Yeah, and now that you mention it, I've seen more of them in recent weeks than I've seen before.
And have you used any of the SmartU services?
Mm-mm. I'm still doing the 60-60, eh?
Checkers, eh?
Yeah.
Come on, you got to try.
I'm a brand ambassador for
You can't
checkers.
Kick it till you try it. You know what I mean?
Yes, are you using... what are you still
I haven't tried this? It either. But I should, eh?
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Willy's Dash, funny enough, often.
Hey, that's quite fancy, eh?
They do run a tight ship here in this area, I must say.
Really, when you really order cool. from Willy's, do you get a Rolls Royce pulling up with this stuff?
No, but you do get really cool brown plastic, brown paper bags, which is like a bit of a different experience. I must say, they consume the most amount of space when you're trying to throw them away. And you don't really, you feel bad for throwing them away. Funny enough, you feel worse throwing plastic away, so I guess it's not that bad. But those little bags, those bags take up quite a amount of space, which is quite funny. Then, here's a bit of bad news. You have fiber now, hey?
Oh, yes.
And you're enjoying it?
Yes, I am, hey, but it's not flawless.
No.
You know, I thought, hey, I've got fiber, it will never go down. Never, ever.
That's a pipe dream.
Yeah, and it doesn't exist, hey.
No, you can't have, no one can be online permanently, otherwise no one would appreciate it, eh?
Yeah, it's true. No, it there has to be some downtime sometimes, you know.
So apparently as of April 1st, 2024, OpenServe has announced that they're going to be upping their prices. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, whether you're AfriHost or even, you know, now it's not on or whatever, you're probably working alongside OpenServe, you know, to get access. So I think OpenServe increases its prices on ISPs, and ISPs in turn increase prices on customers. So that they saw, obviously, with something like Access, which is another ISP, they've basically told customers that their prices are going to be increasing. RSA Web has confirmed to MyBroadband that they also receive communication from OpenServe about the price increases. Cool Ideas, which is another ISP, also said it'll be sending its updated OpenServe pricing on Friday, March 1st, which was a day ago. RSA Web said it is also in the process of communicating the changes to existing customers and updating its advertised pricing. And OpenServe's annual price adjustment for the FTTH are typically implemented in April, coinciding with the start of their financial year. So it's not like completely uncommon, but you might, as a consumer, expect to see some slight price changes. Funny enough, it looks like I was looking at the price bracket that I'm on, and it looks like I'm already at that price bracket. So I wonder if I'm going to be going higher.
No, you probably won't.
But we
would
will
you pay
see.
More?
I will pay good money for fiber, yes. Especially if you can keep it always on. And get me close to that gigabyte per second, please. Do I need it? No. Do I want it? Yes. What will I do with it? Nothing. But to have it will be nice. You know, just to know that it's there.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, you know, having a super powerful car is nice, but no one's driving at top speed every day. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's actually a very
it's
good point.
It's just there when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need it for? Who knows? I don't know who knows. To download something any bigger than that, you know. In a short period of time. Imagine that. I need to download this quick or else, you know, something bad's going to happen. What could it be? You know, how many situations like that exist? Other than maybe the food being cold or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, we have Telkom's real ADSL numbers. Because I wanted to ask you, what were you using before your fiber?
Then I was using like wireless internet.
Okay, how was your experience?
Little dishes,
with that?
Pretty good. Sometimes it would go down when it's raining.
So it was a little bit weather dependent.
Yeah, yeah, because that, of the satellite, beam. The beam thingy, yeah.
I got
and
you.
Then before that, the good old ADSL.
ADSL.
Yeah.
Did you, what was the, could you remember what the first internet speed is you ever got? On AD, I think it must have been DSL dial-up at the time. I'm
yeah,
sure.
But I was so proud of it, eh? It was like one or two.
Really? I remember it. I remember clearly sitting in
a 2 meg line. Ooh, two meg line, you know, yeah.
Don't mess.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the 2 megas.
And you know, it was so bad at one stage when my brother uploaded something, then I couldn't use the internet. Because when there was an upload happening, then download speed would also go down.
It was like 2 megs. You could were capable of handling a 2 meg download, but if you dare upload like even, you know, half a meg speed per second, it just absolutely decimates the rest of the line.
Yeah, upload, definitely just upload, it consumed the whole line. So then your downloads or streaming would just start buffering because somebody's uploading a video or something.
When I used
was not happy about that.
When I used to make a lot of YouTube videos, I would have to sit and upload my video to YouTube. And it was during that 2 megasecond time frame, you know.
So how long did that take?
Oh my word. Sometimes 6, 8, 10 hours, 12 hours.
And you sat there watching?
No, you definitely found something to keep you busy. But you know what would be the worst?
And then it fails.
Sometimes load shedding would come around.
Oh no.
And your whole upload's messed up. But then I remember I went and stayed at Teeson Island. And they had the Vodacom fiber on the beach. Ooh. And I would just go there and it would literally be the difference. It would take me 6 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours at home. Or I'd go there to the fiber and it would take me like 4 minutes. It was such a massive difference. And that just shows you, you know, how much it's changed. And I mean, when we take a look at this next, Telkom and their ADSL numbers, apparently they have around 82,000 subscribers using their copper-based DSL at the moment, which is about 920,000 fewer than it had less than a decade ago. So in 10 years, they went from over 920,000 DSL customers to 82,000 DSL customers. And a few, I think in 2016, they just stopped reporting their DSL numbers. And it's like, I understand why.
It was a bit embarrassing.
It went from a million to 82,000.
Yo.
And I think that's where we're at now. I'm even surprised by the number to hear that we still have 82,000 people in South Africa connected via ADSL. I thought fiber was more predominant by now, but I think these might be under connected regions.
Yeah, I think some of the lines also underground, they just disintegrated it, and then those that were left were stolen, basically.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I would go to a friend's house or something like that was still on ADSL, and it would just, the line would just be so depreciated and like faulty and packet loss and all these kind of things. But
yeah, how on earth did we survive, eh?
Well, we were celebrating how good it was. that's the crazy thing. That is the crazy thing.
I still remember telling somebody, my upload speed used to be 0.5, now it is 1.
Now what is your upload speed? You must have like a 35 up, eh?
Yes, something like that, yeah.
70 times faster than it
exactly.
was.
Exactly.
70 times.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Meaning if you upload something,
it'll take a long way.
1/70th of the time.
But it's nice to say, you know, we lived through that time, you know.
Yes.
People can make fun of us for that.
Yes, and I mean, have you seen the price of Bitcoin lately?
No.
Damn.
Is it good?
We passed the 1 million rand mark. Remember last week or the week before we spoke about how interesting it was that there was such a difference in the amount, like how much the rand is depreciated, so that when Bitcoin hit a much lower USD value than its all-time high, it already passed South Africa's previous like $1 million mark compared to last time. I think there was like a $14,000 difference in the price. From like a year and a half, 2 years ago, when Bitcoin had its all-time high and hit a million, and now. But long story short, now we see Bitcoin prices at 1.2 million rand. And I think what really summarizes it, I mean, if you were one of the lucky people, I remember in like 2020 or 2021, right then when we had COVID like come, and then we saw like that big market slide, I remember seeing Bitcoin at like 30,000 rand a Bitcoin. Which means back then, I wish I'd bought some. Back then, if you had bought a Bitcoin for 30,000 Rand, over the last 2 weeks, you would have made 200,000 Rand.
Sure.
Just in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
Not to mention you would have made 970,000 rand on top of that. But in the last 2 weeks, you would have gone from 970,000 rand profit to 1.2 million rand profit, which is absolutely crazy. Cool to see crypto flying like that. I wonder where the ceiling is. We'll find out.
Yeah.
I can definitely think that we're going to see a big sell-off soon. Not gonna call any specific numbers, but usually we see, you know, the better the price gets, the more the people who are wanting to make their profits are kind of tempted to do a big sell. So it wouldn't be out of character this time of the year to see something like that happen. So always be wary, you know, don't get sucked into the fear of missing out. You know, dollar cost average and save yourself some money. Then also, we have some other news as well, but I believe we have a music break.
Yes, and then Ken will tell us more.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. It's Jan and Kane with you, talking about this week's biggest tech stories as we enter the month of March. Kane, what have you got for us next?
Twitch has apparently stopped operating in South Korea. The streaming service shut off access this week, citing prohibitively expensive costs. These costs stem from a high tax on bandwidth services. According to Rest of World, the sender pays rule requires companies to compensate the receiving networks for the traffic they send. It's meant to tax heavy senders like Netflix and YouTube, and live streaming sites like Twitch face particularly steep fees, as low latency is critical for live content. So we see Twitch essentially stepping out of South Korea. I wonder how much money they made out of South Korea. I don't know how popular, compared to their other markets, how popular South Korea is. But obviously we've seen them now step out, so the answer is not very popular. But Twitch won't be available there anymore. And then Tesla has also come out to say that Rivian, GM, Polestar, and Volvo are next in line for the supercharger access. Ford EV owners are the first to get access, with the company opening up orders for complimentary NACS to CSS adapters starting today. And as noted by Electric, next in line will be GM, Rivian, Polestar, and Volvo. The companies will also need to roll out software updates to allow Tesla chargers to automatically recognize their vehicles for billing purposes. So there we have it, some updates in the Tesla supercharger world, where everything should one day, I guess, be charged by a Tesla. We're seeing obviously the Ford support rollout, but also, you know, revving up for GM, Rivian, Polestar, and Volvo. So that's going to be very, very cool. Nothing for us to worry about, though. We don't have any Tesla superchargers here. I think Elon's a little bit angry that he can't get Starlink in here, so
yeah,
he's just not even trying.
It's probably like typical, you know.
He's not even trying to bring the Teslas back. So that's that. And then not just the end of the Elon news just yet. Elon Musk has announced that he's suing OpenAI.
Ooh.
So for anyone who doesn't know what OpenAI is, OpenAI is essentially ChatGPT and DALL-E now at the moment as well. And Elon Musk is suing OpenAI for abandoning its mission to benefit humanity. Elon Musk claims OpenAI is using ChatGPT-4 to maximize profits instead of for the benefit of humanity. So he's basically suing them and their CEO, Sam Altman, over claims that the pursuit of profit has led the company to abandon its founding mission to develop artificial intelligence technology that will benefit humanity. In a lawsuit filed with the San Francisco court on Thursday, Musk alleged that OpenAI's partnership with Microsoft has transformed the organization into a closed-source, de facto subsidiary of Microsoft that's focusing on maximizing profits. Some pretty strong claims coming from Elon over there. According to the news, the lawsuit, such actions constitute a breach of the founding agreement between Musk, who co-founded OpenAI in 2015, but no longer retains a stake in the company, Altman, and OpenAI president Greg Brockman, who committed to making the project a non-profit and its technology open source. These violations include keeping the design of OpenAI's GPT-4 model a complete secret, with the suit claiming this decision was primarily driven by commercial considerations, not safety, and that GPT-4's model is now a de facto Microsoft proprietary algorithm. So, in a nutshell, what's actually happening here is Musk, being one of the very first OpenAI funders, has basically started a lawsuit to say that the agreement that he signed when he originally funded them, which was they are going to prioritize being open source, they're going to prioritize being there for the benefit of humanity, and they're going to not prioritize everything around making a profit. Now, Microsoft's obviously come into the bill, spending billions of dollars, pun intended, and unfortunately have decided to release GPT-4 without some of these non-profit related elements. And Musk obviously turning around and saying, that's not right, and ultimately taking action against Sam Altman and the OpenAI team. Going to be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, Musk very much acting as like a Bruce Wayne, like a rich vigilante, you know, kind of trying to take down the underdogs. I mean, who else is going to sue OpenAI for that? Who else is going to take action on them? Do I think that the action is warranted? I don't think we should be building AI models to make money right now. I think we should be making AI models to basically make AI models better, and then we can make money later, you know. But you need money to make money, and the people who've made it need to make money. So I do understand some degree of where they're coming from, but unfortunately they do have their hands tied behind their back, as in how they got here was stoting these kind of value propositions. We're open, you know. They literally called themselves Open AI. Open AI, literally not closed AI, but Open AI just released a closed software update. So that's kind of where the anger is coming from there. And I feel like it is somewhat warranted. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so too.
In other news, PlayStation 5's slim model looks like it might be coming soon. For those of you who don't know, throughout PlayStation's history, you always got the fat version. They used to literally call it the PH80 version.
I remember.
And the slim version. Mm. So you could go to the store and you could get, I think it's only started on PlayStation 2s. I don't remember PlayStation 1 slim. But you used to have a fat PlayStation 2. It literally was called FH80, and it was like this big chunky PlayStation 2. And then came the PlayStation 2 slim, which is like a thin dude. And anybody who had that would remember it. It almost felt like that's the one that broke more. Like the thicker one was like a better, more stronger, robust system.
Yeah.
And then we had the PlayStation 3, and then the PlayStation 3 Slim, the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 4 Pro, and then the PlayStation 4 Slim. So when PlayStation 4 came out, that's where we saw the first ever PlayStation Pro, where there was not only just the PlayStation and the number, but the PlayStation number and the word Pro, which meant it was even better. And then we got the slim version of that. And then we got PlayStation 5. We haven't got the PlayStation 5 Pro yet. I don't know how expensive that's going to be, considering the PlayStation 5 starts at an entire flipping arm and leg. So I don't know if people are going to be willing to give their other arm and their other leg. But very expensive. And I'm sure we'll see the PlayStation Slim coming out. So that's basically what the news is talking about here. And when the PlayStation Slim comes out, obviously people are excited because it looks kind of better, and it's kind of lighter, and it's thinner, and it's low body. But then also there's some performance enhancements there as well. Sometimes they come with a little bit of spec updates. If they previously were X size, now they're Y size in terms of hard drive space. So very cool to see PlayStation still pushing updates to the PlayStation 5. In fact, the PlayStation 3 recently just got a performance update. The PlayStation 3, I think, came out in 2006.
Wow.
And they still deliver security updates in 2006.
I'm surprised, eh? I mean, Windows wouldn't update a system that old.
No
ways. Or support a system that old anymore. That's
very interesting. I think if you start Windows XP right now, it turns itself off. You know, I think it just is.
I don't recognize the world I'm in.
No, this PC is too good for something's wrong. It's stolen. It's government property. You know?
Sure, yeah.
And then Gemini. Do you know what Gemini is?
Well, not the star sign.
Okay, so there's a star sign called Gemini. There's a crypto exchange called Gemini.
Ah, yes. Yeah, you mentioned it before. I remember.
Yes, and it was made by the Winklevoss twins.
Oh, yes.
Who also made Facebook.
Facebook, yes.
Yes. So Facebook came out, obviously the Winklevoss twins had hired Mark Zuckerberg. That's how the whole story started. Mark Zuckerberg ended up making Facebook, making a lot of money.
And got the credit.
Yep, got the credit. But the Winklevoss twins walked away with $100 million, which I think is small in comparison to what the company is now, of course.
Yeah.
But they walked away with $100 million. And one of the next things that they did in the public eye, they did some other things, but nothing quite as big, is they started a crypto exchange called Gemini. And yeah, this is where it starts turning the other direction. So the crypto firm Gemini has now been ordered to pay over $1 billion back to its customers in settlement. So around 200,000 Gemini Earn customers will get their funds returned as part of a settlement reached with New York's financial regulator. The cryptocurrency exchange Gemini has promised to return $1.1 billion to its customers as part of a settlement it reached with the New York Department of Financial Services, or NYDFS. Gemini will also have to pay $37 million to the NYDFS for significant failures that threatened the safety and soundness of the company. The NYDFS claims Gemini, which is owned by twins Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, had compliance management and internal audit issues when it came to managing its Earn program introduced in 2021. Gemini's Earn program let customers loan their cryptocurrency to the crypto brokerage Genesis Capital Global Capital while receiving interest. So they faced a little bit of trouble there. They have to now pay those customers back who took part in that. But wow, I mean, not easy to just pull out a billion and pay it to someone. And I feel like the Winklevoss twins seem to kind of keep getting in these kind of situations. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Quan seems to stay out of the limelight. And then in some other news as well, the Leap Day, right? That actually broke EA Sports' WRC. So the game started crashing for players on Xbox and PlayStation shortly after launch. And it's all because of the 29th day of the year. Obviously, when they made the game, they didn't prepare for 29th of February. So their big solution to all the gamers having trouble was they tweeted and said, please change the date of your consoles to tomorrow. To
the 1st of March.
To fix the issue.
Oh my gosh.
So on the...
So the thing was like, where am I?
So on the 29th of February, no one could play this EA Sports World Rally Championship game. And it was because it didn't know how to handle there being a 29th of February 2024.
Wow.
I always find that. That's just quite funny. You
it
know?
Is, hey?
That's just absolutely hilarious. And do we have a music break?
Absolutely. And then we're coming back with more tech news. Welcome back to Tech Plus. It's time again for us to discuss the week's biggest tech stories. We've now entered the final stretch for this week. Here's Kane with more.
So apparently Spotify has come out with a new feature. Do you know about it?
Mm-mm.
I did not know about this until I read about it today.
Enlighten me.
Apparently it's called, and I'm going to quote this, it's called Song Psychic.
Oh.
It's like a magic 8-ball that answers your questions with music.
Okay, that's pretty
So that's
random.
Pretty cool. Remember Songs in Real Life? Do you remember that series on YouTube that went quite viral? Songs in Real Life? Ring any bells? It was kind of like people would live, like they would go about their normal day and randomly they would bust out into song. And it would coincide with whatever they were doing. You know?
Oh, okay.
So someone would ask them
Sounds
a question
like a
and they
musical.
Would respond in song. It was kind of like a musical.
Yeah.
It was a YouTube series called Songs in Real Life.
Okay, I should watch it.
And it was super duper popular. But Spotify obviously coming out. So you can go to this thing and you can ask it a question and it will browse through its vast media library and answer you in song. And I think that's pretty cool because for me especially, I can't just remember the lyrics of a song. But if you give me one line, then, you know, I can go on from there. So I think this would be a pretty fun thing to play with.
Mm.
And see if you could complete the next line, you know, and if you could know which song it is and things like that. So I think that's a pretty cool feature. Definitely wasn't expecting it or asking for it, but I like Spotify. They come up with cool stuff like that. They come up with Spotify Wrapped. Have you ever seen that?
What's it in December?
Yeah, so at the end of a year, they come out with like a Spotify Wrapped, which wraps up all your most frequently listened music.
Mm.
So you can listen back to all your most listened to music. Or you could listen to like a collection of songs that are very similar to, you know, the music you listen to. You know what I don't like about listening back to the songs you listen to the most it's like you've listened to them the most, so therefore they're probably not going to be that good to listen to.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired now.
Yeah, the ones you've listened to the most are overplayed, you know? That's the ones you're like, no, not this song again.
Not again, yeah.
So that one didn't really work.
Okay, yeah, but I saw that Wrapped thing in December.
Yes. And here's another thing. Did you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know, but I mean, I didn't directly know. Did you know Apple was working on a car?
Yes, at one stage they spoke about it. I think I saw a photo as well, but it never took off.
No, it never quite took off. And do you want to guess how much they spent on this little adventure?
No, I have absolutely no idea. Hey, must be a lot again.
So, I mean, they've spent the last decade basically fumbling, essentially, because they've given up. They said it was doomed, not going to work. But they spent the last decade trying to build a car, an Apple car, which I think if they had come right, despite it being incredibly challenging to come out with your own car as presented and demonstrated by Elon Musk, they ended up spending $10 billion on this little venture.
Sure.
Which has been ultimately unfruitful. Oops. And I think that kind of highlights some of the decisions massive tech companies have to make. I mean, $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
If you had just not worked on it and kept that money for yourself or for your business, big difference.
Yeah.
But you never know, man. 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, they could reboot it. And out comes an Apple car, you know, ready for action. I wonder if it would be called an iCar. No, I hope not.
I'm sure it will.
An iCar. It must be. It's going to be called it. Or like an iDrive or something.
Yeah, then you're going to have all these diehard Apple fans, you know, sitting in the office with an iPad and an iMac and an iPhone, now leaving the office to go and get into their iCar with their iCharger.
Man, it's crazy. It's absolutely mad. Here's another thing. So apparently Tumblr users are now able to kind of get an idea of how much OpenAI and Midjourney are paying for their data.
Mm.
Do you know what Tumblr is?
Yes. Social network.
Photos. Social network. People share photos. People share information.
Is it still going?
Yes. So OpenAI and photo generator Midjourney will soon pay to train their AI models using public Tumblr content, according to internal documents reviewed by the site 404 Media. 404 Media has reported that a deal is imminent between Tumblr parent company Automattic, with two T's, and the two AI giants, but could not specify what types of data would be sold to each company. The deal also reportedly includes the sale of data from WordPress.com, another Automattic property. Posts detailing how user content is used for AI training were published on 27 February on the staff blogs of both Tumblr and WordPress.com. However, the post did not tell users that Automattic was in the talks to sell that data. Now, this is pretty crazy because I feel like, you know, in this case, the people whose data is being sold are kind of victims. Not kind of, they are victims, because when they first joined WordPress, when they first joined Tumblr, I don't think they ever joined with even the knowing, not just the knowledge of, but even the, you know, the ability to imagine or foresee that the data that they're submitting and providing to Tumblr would eventually be used and sold back to OpenAI and Midjourney, but not just sold as in here's some useful data to advertise to people to make some money, but here's some data on people's work and people's creations so that you can learn how to reproduce that work and those creations without compensation for the original people that made it possible to train that AI. So I do disagree with that. I think that's terrible. I mean, even considering the WordPress element, I mean, WordPress is a site that was the go-to for many people all over the world who are small business owners to basically have a website. So you're basically saying that you're going to train AI on all small businesses, startup websites between 2010 and 2023, basically. You know, that's basically what you're doing. And that's a lot of data. There's a lot of web developers that worked on that. There's a lot of human skill that went into that trainable data. I don't think that training people on that data is wrong. I think that training AI on that data without the consent nor the remuneration for the creators of that data, I think, is wrong. And I'm really going to be interested to see how that unfolds and how it develops. Then next up, more updates from Meta. We were talking earlier about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. So apparently Meta has now announced that 2024 is apparently going to be the year that we're going to see a pair of true AR smart glasses. So-called Orion glasses might make a surprise appearance at Meta Connect later in 2024, but they won't be available for the public. What is this? Well, we spoke about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses that are out now, the Wayfarers, the latest ones. They can, you know, you can say, hey Meta, take a photo, and it'll take a photo. You can say, hey Meta, record a video, and we'll record up to a 1 minute video in like 4K resolution, and it has two cameras on it, and it has a mic on it, and it has speakers on it, and it has a touch controller on it, so you can listen to music and have calls and speak to people and do all that kind of stuff. But one thing you can't do is see anything. There is an LED to determine whether it's on or off. There's some LEDs to show when a picture's being taken, but there's no on-screen information. We saw when the Apple Vision Pro came out, one of the most popular features of the Vision Pro was something called pass-through, where they could literally walk about their day or their house and actually set up viewable stations, like little mini computers in the sky, basically, displays in the sky, make a fake TV, make a fake computer, make a fake visual display in front of your fridge that shows recipes, have another TV next to your TV that shows, like, if you're watching the rugby, it'll show you like your favorite sports betting website where you're betting on the local sports. You know, you can set up all these virtual and augmented reality environments. The minute you're doing something in virtual reality that's in your own reality, it's called augmented reality. And that's basically what these glasses will probably try and create. But I think before they create something like that, you're probably going to see like a little message icon in the top right-hand corner of your lens. You know, you might see a little bit of text from the latest text message come in the bottom left of your screen. You might be able to take a photo, and the little photo will show up in one of your lenses, so you can quickly see it and see if it's a good photo. You might ask the camera, like, hey, what language is this? And it will look at the page that you're looking at and look at the words and automatically pick up the text on the page and convert it into another language so that you can read it. Super useful when you're traveling, probably. Maybe you're at the airport and you don't know how to get to where you need to go. The glasses might have GPS in it, so it'll create an augmented reality waypoint on the ground. So it'll make some arrows on the ground for you to follow to wherever your plane is departing from, or whatever, you know, area you need to get to at the airport or in a big town or something like that. So I think that kind of technology is what you're going to see with AR glasses, and I'm personally quite excited to see it. And a little bit bleak. I just got these Wayfarer glasses, and now the next ones are coming out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like iPhones, eh? You'll never have the latest one because there's always a new one coming out.
That's tech for you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's always someone out there with something new. At least you have one, man. Exactly, you can't. I mean, the guys going around buying a new iPhone every time an iPhone comes out are paying a lot of money for not a lot of advancements. Nah. I see a lot of people, the strategy they stick to is a phone every second generation. That seems to be quite a good strategy. And I would do that too, you know. Skip one generation, you get the most kind of updates.
Yeah. That's very nice. And good on idea, actually.
And the last piece of news, this is quite interesting. Uber could back an African startup with up to 2 billion rand. It's quite a whopping number. Uber Technologies Inc. is in talks to back African vehicle financing startup Move, with two O's, in a funding round of as much as $100 million, or to be exact, 1.93 billion rand, said people familiar with the matter. The US ride-hailing firm will join a group of investors in the cash raise, which will push Move's enterprise value to about $750 million from a pre-money valuation of about $650 million. That's crazy, eh? I mean, they're investing $100 million into a company worth $650 million. It's just like, it doesn't even scratch the surface of the value, but it's still impressive. The funding round has not yet concluded, and the final figure could still change, ranging between about $75 million and $100 million. But that's cool. Uber investing into an African startup called Move. Very cool. And that's your tech topics for this week.
Move, Kane, move. It's time for you to move, my boy.
There's actually a funny, like a funny YouTuber I watch in South Africa, and he always says, you're not a tree, you must move.
Yeah, I also saw a quote once saying, if you're not happy where you are, move, you're not a tree. It's actually quite true, hey? Instead of complaining. But yes, remember, if you want to get in touch with us and be interactive, make some topic suggestions, maybe send us a question or something, maybe we can find out something for you. Do send us your thoughts and suggestions on the WhatsApp line 061-253-0670. It's 061-253-0670. And on that note, Kane, I'm going to wish you a wonderful weekend, and thanks as always for popping in with all the great tech news.
Absolutely a pleasure, and thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Absolutely. Take care.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.